with Robert Gonzalez.
Welcome, everyone. I think as in all the rest of the classes, I would like to just begin with an opening attunement, opening meditation. The intention is for everyone to become as self-connected and as present as possible. So I'll ask each person to bring your attention to yourself, awareness to what is alive in you, and to actually slow the process down of being present compared to perhaps where you have been previous to this. Just be with the breath gently. Notice what you're feeling in your emotions. Notice any body sensations or in the energy that you're feeling in your body and in your emotions. And bring any quality of self-care, whatever that might mean for you. Whatever energy, whatever experience you are feeling right now. If you could hold it with care, as you might hold a child, bring care and love to this inner life in you. And I'd like to ask you to connect with an intention for self-connection. Be a primary focus of this class today. Okay, thank you. So what I would like to do is to share an overview of the focus of this course. The focus will be primarily on a specific process. For me, it's one of the fundamental foundational processes that support a certain quality of self-connection. It's about how we can transform the disconnecting pain that we have in unmet needs into the beauty that's inherent in the needs themselves, transforming pain of unmet needs into the beauty of the needs. I'm going to give some preliminary remarks, and I'd like to go right into this process. This process came to me many years ago, and I consider it to be foundational to self-connection. I view it as quite a thorough transformational process, an extension of self-empathy. And there are three primary elements to this that is the focus of the process. And each of these elements gives rise to a particular quality. The first element of the process helps us to create a kind of conscious clarity with our experience, enabling us to differentiate and loosen our identification with our jackal thinking, our self-judgmental, inner critic, blame, etc. Creates clarity and therefore freedom. The second element allows us to go deeply into feeling, particularly the natural pain of unmet needs, so we can have a deeper self-connection and allow the natural process of mourning to come into our experience more fully. And the quality that comes from that process is self-compassion and compassion. And as all mourning touches the inherent beauty, this moves into dwelling into the beauty and the fullness of the life energy inherent in all needs. And when we are in that state, the more we're in that state, the more we are empowered to act and to live from the energy and the beauty of our needs. So the third quality is empowerment. So those are the three qualities that are developed in this process. What I'm going to ask each person to do in order to fully participate in this class is to bring a real life experience to share in the pairs. So we're going to break into pairs. And so what I'm going to ask each person to do, pick a situation that is current, that you are currently experiencing in your life, something that happened recently that's still alive, wherein something happened, just say, in an interaction with someone or with a particular situation in life that didn't work for you in terms of there were unmet needs, and you may still be unresolved or not fully having transformed this experience. Then what I'm going to do is to walk you through at least five different phases. So it'll be five different breakout phases with each of the elements of the process. And I'll walk you through that and step by step. So what I'd like to do is I'm hoping that each person has something to write with, pencil or pen and a piece of paper. This will be really helpful in this process. Although I don't think it's going to be absolutely necessary, it will be very helpful, particularly when we get into the part of the process where I'm going to ask you to identify any of your thinking, reactive thinking, jackal thinking, etc. So before we go into the pairs, I'd like each person to think of a situation that's still alive, that has not been fully transformed, and write down what you've observed in the situation. Just keep it concise, and the specific observation of the stimulus for your experience. I'll give you a minute for each person to write this down. Okay, and what I'm going to ask you to do in the pair is to identify the observation in the situation. You don't have to go into any background story. It's not necessary in order to do this process to give any background. All is required is just with the observation. And then with your partner, when you've identified the observation in your pair or your small group, try to keep it concise and short without any added discussion. And then begin to each person with your observation, the stimulus, with what happened in this life experience, identify any reactive or jackal thinking and write down no more than four or five. So if something happened and you have a reaction, a judgment towards the other person or towards yourself, write down those words, whatever the thought is, whatever the judgment is. And so each person is going to do this in the small group. I'm thinking that 5 minutes for each person should be adequate to do this. So that'll be 10 minutes for this first pair. And great. Thank you. Looks like there's a question, a hand up from Dee.
Yeah, Robert. So I got the first when we're in the dyad and for Sam Speaker A, and I identify my observation. Then I stop and write down four or five sentences and then share it?
Yes. Yeah, thank you for the clarity, Dee. I did not say that I would not want you to share what you've written with your partner, but yes. You write it down and then share with whatever those sentences are. Thank you for the question. Okay, so are we ready to move into the small groups?
And so here we go.
Hello.
Great, thank you. I think I'd like to maybe ask for any sharing or feedback on that process. A reminder that I suspect that some of you did something different than what I asked, which is understandable. What I asked is simply to identify the observation and the jackal thinking, not to go into any feelings, needs. What I want to do is to help you identify what the different elements are, because this is a sequential process, and we're just starting with the bare minimum of the first two steps of it. Observation and thinking only, not feelings and needs, not anything else. So that's this first process. There's three steps to transformation of the jackal. The first one is simply identifying it. That's what I'm asked you to do by writing it down. The second one is has to do with embracing it, so that you allow yourself to feel the feelings that are associated with the jackal thinking instead of doing anything else with them. Just feel them. The third one is about differentiating, and that would be the next exercise we do in the breakout. After we differentiate, then we'll get into the next step, which is connecting more deeply to the authentic feelings and needs, free from the jackal thinking. And then the next step after that is to go deeply into any mourning of the unmet needs. And then from that, the last element and the last breakout group would be to connect to the inherent beauty that's in the needs. So this is a sequential process, and we're just doing the very first step right now. So I'm wondering if anybody, to open it up to any sharing, any experience that anybody had, maybe need for clarity or any kind of support in just those first two steps, observation and thinking. Does anybody have anything? Yes, Dee.
I'm curious. My partners had some comments about my observation, so I just want to share it with you and just see. My observation was that you requested us to do this exercise, and I had some feelings around that. And what my thinking was that I didn't have anything significant to work on, and that I was a little pissed because I'm taking this course that put time and money and energy into, and I'm not at a place in my life where I'm feeling a lot of triggering. I'm in a very comfortable place. So there's this anxiety. Am I going to get the most out of the course that I really want to? And a few more jackal thoughts around that. So I will just stop right there. And my partners were wanting us to call you, suggesting that maybe I needed to do something more. And I was willing to work with just that, those observations and those thoughts.
Okay. For me, I'm hearing the observation as you observed, in addition to my asking you to do this exercise, what I heard was you signed up for this course. And then more specifically today, I asked you to do this exercise. And that observed experience was a stimulus for these thoughts that you had.
Yes.
The first one, I didn't write it down, so can you...
The first thought?
Yes, the first jackal thought.
Was that I'm feeling uncomfortable because I couldn't think of anything that seemed to be really significant to work on. So I was a little sad or pissed that I didn't have something really juicy.
Yeah, so notice that you have feelings mixed in with your thoughts. Uncomfortable,
yes.
Upset, pissed, those are feelings. And the thought is, sometimes the thoughts aren't as clear. They're under the surface. You said, I don't have anything to work on. Is that right?
Yeah.
Only if this rings true. Is there an underlying thought that I should have something to work on?
Yes.
The thought creating the effect is a should thought. I should have something to work on.
Yes.
And then the other one, I'm not at a place in my life.
I'm in a pretty comfortable place in my life. I want to take advantage of this course and being with you to really deepen some work, and I'm kind of feeling pretty comfortable in my life right now, so there's not much. But I should have something, because there's always more work to be done.
Well, let's just, for the sake of simplicity with this this exercise. Let's just take that one thought with this exercise. I should have something to work on. My suggestion is to work with that for the rest of this exercise. There may be other thoughts that come in to play. So is that okay right now to just leave that?
Yeah.
Great.
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay. So we have another hand, Lauren.
What I was just curious about in the exercise is when we're sharing our observation or whatever else we share next, is the partner to silently listen or to reflect back anything?
Yeah, the partner's mostly to silently listen. The partner's not to empathize, because that's a different process. This is just a very clear-cut process. If the partner isn't fully clear on what is being said, then ask for clarity. Is this what you're saying? So empathy, some of you may, I mean many, if not all of you, may have so much experience in NVC that you're naturally going to want to empathize. I'm not saying creating a rule not to empathize, but just listen in an open manner and help the person perhaps to clarify some of the thinking or some of whatever the next phase might be. Now, in the next elements, I may ask, maybe empathy can be part of it. But for this first part of the exercise, the partner was just to listen.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes. Anyone else? Karma?
I had trouble to differentiating between feelings and thoughts.
Okay.
Can the thoughts be questions?
Well, yes, they can be questions, and I found that transforming the questions into statements is more powerful, more effective. Can you give me an example, and I'll show you what I mean?
Why the heck this contraction comes back all the time, again and again?
Why the heck, I didn't understand the word, why the heck does what come back?
The contraction, I have a physical contraction.
Contraction. So why does this contraction come back all the time? Okay, so if you sort of be with that sense into that thought, that question, and you get a feel for there's a statement in there. I'm just going to help you explore that because I'm not 100% clear on it myself. So it could be, clearly the statement is, this contraction comes back all the time.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I'm wondering if there is a should in there. This contraction comes back all the time, and it shouldn't be happening. Does that ring true at all? Does that resonate?
Yeah, well, it's like I should understand why.
Oh, okay. So there's an implicit should that you are telling yourself that you should understand why this is happening.
Yeah.
So when you say, I should understand why this is happening, why this contraction is coming back, does that ring true? Does that feel like an authentic experience of you?
The first one that you say that this should not happen.
Yeah. Okay. So how about just working with that one?
Right.
Yeah. I am simplifying this process just for the sake of supporting learning of the process. Maybe this contraction shouldn't be happening, and I should understand why it's happening. Notice how those are statements, not questions.
Yeah, wonderful.
Okay, yeah. So before we go into the next phase, which is what I'm called differentiation, for me, just a comment about this process is that, in my view, this more thorough, clear exploration of the thinking, the jackal thinking, reactive thinking for me, has been very, very essential in supporting an overall transformation. The way I've learned NVC is we tended to empathize through the jackals to connect more immediately to feelings and needs. And I found that unless we shed the light on the thinking itself, very often, if not most of the time, the energy that's connected to the jackals can come back, and it isn't always necessarily transformed when we connect to the underlying feelings and needs. There's some life energy in the jackals that when we are able to loosen our identification with it and differentiate from it, creates more inner freedom. So this next phase is called differentiation. So what I'd like each person to do, the person who's sharing, is to say what the statements are, and then differentiate means to experience clearly that this is the thought and that it's not what is so. In other words, these are thoughts and stories that we tell ourselves. And when we take them to be true, when we take them to be what is real, that's what creates the disconnecting distress or suffering, as I call it. So it's taking our thoughts and our stories to be true, and we identify with them. So at one stage, we can intellectually understand that, oh yeah, I'm telling myself the story, but still be energetically reacting to it. So to intellectually believe that, well, this is just a thought, doesn't really support the fuller transformation of the process. So what I'm going to ask each person to do is, before you say each thought, you give it a preface. So you would say, I'm telling myself I should understand, for example, using Karma's example, I'm telling myself I should understand why this is happening. I'm telling myself this should not happen. And you may want to repeat that a few times until you feel some kind of relaxation or distance between your thought and your reaction. And if you don't, just keep track of the experience. My request is to just focus on this part of it. The next part will move into feelings and needs. And if you're feeling some degree of very strong emotional pain when you focus on this jackal thinking, then sometimes what I do is then empathize with it. Empathize with the feelings and the pain that is stimulated by this jackal thinking. But to repeat, the primary purpose of this stage of differentiation is to create that clarity of identifying that these are thoughts and they are not observations. These are what I'm telling myself, and it's not what is so. And when that is felt, it's felt in the body as a relief. So this next phase, I think, can be completed in 8 minutes. So that'll be 4 minutes for each person. Okay, so we're ready to move into the pairs. 4 minutes each in this process. So we'll begin. Okay, thank you for that. What I'd like to do is ask for people who did experience some kind of a shift in differentiating, in I'm telling myself, could you share what your experience was, what that was like if you did experience a shift? So Anna, how about you go first?
Well, I did. I felt a shift. I felt like a little bit like felt slightly relaxed. And I felt back away from it, like, you know, it became more of a movie than a thought. Something that I was watching myself, and I was starting to just feel more relaxed, more at ease with it.
Uh-huh. Okay. Great. I'm glad to hear that. That, for me, is some of the criteria or indicators that you have differentiated somewhat, and how you feel in the body, that relief. And the description of it as more of a witness or observing tells me that you are not as identified with that thought as you were previously.
Yes.
So what that does, I'll just make a statement for everyone, is that creates a kind of an inner space that allows one to more directly then in the next phase to connect more fully with the authentic feelings and needs, rather than have it be distorted by the thoughts.
I also, when I said, you know, the story I'm telling myself or what I'm telling myself in my head, I also gave myself time to breathe
yeah.
and really absorb that instead of, I used to have a tendency to go faster.
Yes.
And I slowed that down.
Right, good. Thank you for saying that, because that would be something that I would recommend in this process. Okay, so let's move on to Pamela.
I tend to do things a little bit differently, often not on purpose, but So I get reactive to being told that something isn't true that I'm energetically very identified with.
Yeah.
But one thing that did happen, which was really surprising to me, was when I spoke with my partner, I just got that I was telling myself the other person should be different than they are.
Yeah.
So that I could be okay. Mm. When I got that, I just got this sort of looking out into a spacious field of blank, like, kind of odd. I just kind of had a little bit of, that's not really so.
Great. So I love hearing that. That confirms my own experience with differentiation, is that there's this open spaciousness. And I'm guessing in that more freedom from whatever you were experiencing when you were, I guess, more identified with that thought.
Oh, yeah. Like all of a sudden, I just got present to how, yeah, I can be completely okay no matter how that person over there is behaving.
Yeah. More freedom there. Great. Okay. I'd like to shift the sharing for a few more minutes into anyone perhaps that wasn't able to differentiate. Is there anybody that identified your thoughts, and I'm telling myself as you said it, or I'm thinking, and there you didn't experience a shift? Eric.
I'm excited about the possibility that doing this will give me a shift, but I'm not getting a shift yet.
Okay.
And I am fascinated with what you said in the small group about breaking my larger thought. I should not allow him to use power over to control me, and maybe focus initially on the implied, he is trying to use power over to control me.
Yes. So notice when you say that, he is trying to use power over to control me. Notice how you feel in your body.
I'm noticing a kind of a tenseness. I think it's focused in my chest, more or less the center of my chest.
Okay. So now I'd like you to say, I'm thinking, I'm evaluating, I'm telling myself that he's trying to use power over to control me.
This is interesting. It's different from I'm thinking. I like this one. I'm trying.
Okay.
I'm evaluating that he is trying to use power over to control me.
Yes. When you
kind
say
of
it,
I want to try other words now. Like,
okay.
I'm guessing.
Yes.
I'm assuming.
I
like the word I'm assuming. Yeah. I'm assuming
notice,
trying
yeah,
to use
when you,
power.
Yeah, what's that like in your body now?
Yeah, I think I might be sensing a slight reduction in tension. Yeah.
Now, let's take this further by clarifying. When you say I'm assuming, isn't it clear that that's your own thought process?
Yeah, it's very clearly my own thought process.
Yeah, so in a way, it's a story you're telling yourself.
No question about that, yeah.
Yeah. When you realize it's a story you're telling yourself, which differentiates it from what is so, what do you experience when you have this awareness?
I guess my attention shunts around to various other thoughts.
Yeah.
I might hear myself thinking, well, when he was in fact stimulated, I could probably even get him to agree. Yeah, at that instant, I was trying to, you know, yell and scream, and I was trying to kind of use aggression to, like, table the whole topic and have it go my way. So one of the thoughts is to try to actually defend the trueness of my assumption. That's one place my attention goes. And I guess another place my attention goes is to curiosity about, Robert obviously has something awesome that he's trying to communicate. Oh, and I'm being like kind of like slow and not and uncooperative. I want to be really efficient and cooperative.
And the part of that that I think is valuable, Eric, is that if you're assuming something, it means you don't know. And when
True.
You're curious, it means you don't know. And the only way to know is to connect and check it out with the other person. So I'm just going to let you sit with that for a while, because I want to move on with the group. Is that okay?
Fabulous.
Great. Okay. So, again, this is quite a full process, and I could probably spend some time with each person. And I'm hoping that with this preliminary experience, you're able to touch into the importance of this ability to clearly identify and differentiate one's thoughts from what is so. What I'd like to do then is move into the next phase of this, which is about what I'd like each person to do is, in the pair, you're going to share this with your partner. Then with your attention back on the stimulus, after you've differentiated to whatever extent you've been able to differentiate, back on the stimulus, and in direct relation to the stimulus, connect to first what needs or what longing was unmet or unfulfilled in direct relation to what happened or the observation. Notice how you feel in your body when you've identified the unmet need or the unfulfilled longing. And then notice the emotional feelings that are connected to that. It may bring up natural mourning, which is whatever deep feelings, very often sadness, that you're experiencing in relationship to these precious needs or longings that were unfulfilled or are unfulfilled in this situation. So I'll ask each person to share with your partner. And does anybody have any question about what I just suggested? Eric?
It'd be useful for me if you just repeated what we're supposed to do next.
Sure. You go back to the observation, and with your awareness on the observation or stimulus, notice what needs are unmet, what longings are unfulfilled. Connect to those, allow yourself to feel whatever feelings, and then connect to the body, notice the emotional feelings, and let yourself feel into whatever is there.
As I repeat I am hearing myself think.
That's the jackal thinking, the observation. In other words, what's original stimulus in your situation? What happened? What did the person say or do?
Okay.
Oh, thank you for asking that, because I'm wanting to make sure everybody understands this. We're not into the jackal thinking for this phase of it. It's just directly, what did the other person say or do? And with that in your awareness, what needs are unmet? What needs come into your awareness that were not met? What longings were unfulfilled? And allow yourself to feel those. Feel the awareness of the unfulfilled longing and notice the emotional feelings that are connected to the unmet needs.
Consider the observation and connect to the unmet longings.
Yes, and embody the feelings. And rather than just say the word, let yourself feel. Just say the unmet need was for consideration or care. Notice how you feel when that need for consideration and care were not met. You may feel pain, hurt, or sadness. And allow yourself to embody those feelings. Feel and open into them.
Got it.
Great. And for everyone, the deep feelings of the unmet needs will give rise to natural mourning. That's all I wanted to say about that. We'll spend more time on that in the next phase. We'll begin. Okay. So I'd love to open it up for sharing and even questions about this last part. So I know that there's some limitations in the way I'm doing this process because we're breaking a whole process down into these different phases or elements, and it may tend to break the flow, but given that limitation, this part of it was, can you connect into the longing, what the experience of what the need is, connected to the stimulus or the observation. So I'd like to open it up to anybody sharing their experience of what that was like. Lauren.
I noticed right away that the way I navigated this was to go to the feelings and then try to track the needs.
Yeah.
And that you had, it sounded like you were encouraging us to start with going to the needs if we could, and then follow back to the feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just a little challenging, I think, for me because of I was drawn to I felt frustrated, I felt whatever it was, and then what's the need, and try to guess at that, and so it was just trickier.
Yeah, I usually go to the needs because I think that gives the person the more direct connection to what it's alive. The feelings, I think, are usually secondary to that. It's not that they're less authentic. They're authentic, and there's no rule about it, just that that's the pathway that I generally recommend. Were you able to connect to the needs in relation to the stimulus?
Yes. What I'm saying is that the way that I've learned to find the needs is the feeling is the most obvious thing to me, and then I try to guess, like, what could be triggering this feeling. So it just took a little bit longer to get there.
Yeah, and I understand the using the feelings that are very often more obvious or more in the front of one's experience. I also do recommend the other way as a way of developing just awareness to connect to the needs first. I find it a good practice. So both of them can be very viable practices for self-connection.
Well, I'm looking forward to experimenting with that.
Yeah, great. Thank you, Lauren. Arlene, you have your hand up.
It was a wonderful experience. When I went back, just went along myself to get in touch with the stimulus, I could actually notice this kind of a whole holding in my body. And then it was a deep realization of the yearning for appreciation of just how I love, the action of love. And I just noticed immediately the back of my heart softened, my upper back just softened. Felt very embodied.
Yeah, okay. And when you describe that, I'm sensing that the embodied part of it, that it was a more relaxed experience. It didn't hold tension or contraction.
Yes, everything just kind of softened. And touching that, it really felt like the need was... I'm not sure how to put this into words, but the need was, they know I needed to pay it.
Yeah. Does it fit to say that the need was something that was calling to you or really wanting attention from
mm-hmm.
you?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
The way I view it is some life force in you is coming to the forefront of your awareness because it's important.
And somehow I was protecting.
Yeah. Okay. I think what I'd like to do is in this next breakout is to embody more fully the experience of the need, the experience of the quality that you're longing for, and maybe more than one, but whatever it is, the principle is that even when needs are not met, it does not affect the quality or the inherent beauty of the need itself. The need maintains its beauty, whether or not it's met. So even in the pain of an unmet need, there's something beautiful there. If it wasn't beautiful, you wouldn't feel pain. If it wasn't precious, it would not elicit pain. This next phase is to get in touch with the beauty of what you're longing for, even though it was unmet. And allow yourself to feel it, to experience it. And one of the ways that sometimes people can connect to this is in a different situation, the same need, can you remember a time when this need was met? It could be the same need, the same quality, the same longing. Allow yourself to feel that. And feel the beauty, the preciousness, the fullness of this need. So this is the most important part of this. And then the last part of this exercise in the same breakout is there, in feeling the fullness of this need in relation to this situation, is there a quest, a self-request that comes up? Is there something you want from yourself or you would request from yourself in this situation? To repeat, the first part of the exercise is to feel the fullness, the underlying beauty of the need, of the longing, even though in the situation it was not met. And then, is there a self-request in this situation? Thank you. Thank you all for doing this process and for learning and for sharing. I would love to hear anybody's experience who were very satisfied in their connection with the longing and particularly if it brought up any fullness and beauty in the need that was unmet. I'd love to hear the experience. Anna.
As I was realizing my longing for connection and communication,
I just got slower. I've gotten slower and slower. Even now, I'm still deep breathing. As it kept going on, I actually was feeling that also with my partner. I was feeling so connected, and my heart opened up. And then I could still feel a sadness in that longing, and yet that sadness opened up to the joy of connection, because I realized I really have a deep longing for communication with everyone, you know, with the universe. So it just allowed that to happen, and I have this teary feeling, which I really enjoy, and I can feel my heart beating fast, you know. And at first I was feeling some tension in my body, which opened itself up to tingling, and I realized the tingling was joy.
Thank you, Anna. For me, that beautifully illustrates the fullness of the experience of the heart, the living energy of our needs. Oh, thank you. There's several hands up. Pamela?
I think mine came in imagery. So
yes.
I was wanting to learn, teach something, and I was disappointed about the reaction and became very reactive myself. The image that just came to me was sort of wanting to go on a, the need word was discovery, and it was like wanting to go on a voyage, like Star Trek kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I just got feeling like somebody who had this anchor to the port and I couldn't get going. And then also having this image of like somebody getting seasick over the bow and just being present with, well, that's sometimes what happens when people don't have their sea legs. Okay, no big deal. Instead of just getting so reactive and why are you vomiting? This is not appropriate.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what to do with that, but I mean, it was a really fun thing to have that emerge and to imagine holding a different presence and space in the future.
Thank you. I think that answers your question, at least from my view. It's what to do with it is stay in that energy. When you stay in that energy, there's a fullness, there's a more of an aliveness.
Thank you.
That's really, okay. So the next would be Rio.
Felt this really deep kind of dropping down into my body and just a lot of tears flowing. They're still coming as I connect with just that experience of a really deep connection, and also this relaxing of the breathing, and yeah, it's a really moving experience. I noticed how much a sense of relief, and how the mourning, the tears, there's still a part of me that has a little judgment about that thinks, oh, well, those tears should be over right now, or that's enough crying, and yet it feels so good at the same time, just to melt into my body and my heart and just let everything flow out. So that's what's happening with me.
Thank you, Rio. I really appreciate hearing that. Yes. D.
My need and my longing was for spiritual growth, spiritual connection, and I had a lot more compassion for myself. Well, let me rephrase that. I kind of immediately went to a request of self to just do a daily self-connection process, which I often do. I often get off my path, so to speak, and then I go back. But this time I didn't have a sense of beating myself up. I just had a lot more compassion for this is where I am, and this is a beautiful longing, and gee whiz, I can do something about it. So just a lot more acceptance.
It sounds like a deep acceptance for where you are and the longing for the spiritual connection.
Yeah, thank you.
Great, thank you, Dee. Next would be Sarah.
So I just literally let myself sit with this need for safety. There was a fear. There was a fear there, and as I just allowed myself to just sit with the fear, that I could just sort of feel it fluttering very gently. It wasn't very strong, but it was there, and embrace it as a teacher, because the fear then gives me guidance, really, as to what I actually need to do for myself to keep myself safe.
Yes.
I could take the learnings from that. I could literally just sit with that, and it felt good to have that there as my sort of, the fear in itself was the safety. I could make that request of myself, was to give myself some time and to find one or two people to give me the support that I need around the stimulus.
Yeah, thank you, Sarah. Thanks. I appreciate hearing that. I love the embrace that I'm hearing you express in your relationship to fear, that embracing it as a teacher, that there is in the energy of that is the quality of safety. I love hearing that. Beautiful.
Thank you.
Yes. So one more person, Eric.
My observation was he said, no way are you going to do X. And the first need I got in touch with was clarity, that I really wanted to know what I was supposed to do now. But when I sat with a little bit longer, what showed up for me was partnership, that I really value this person and having an alliance. So I got to just sit with the joy of feeling that one is in an alliance, that one is supported, the joy of partnership. And I found it kind of delicious. One of the things that came up for me was that if I were to say to him, I want you to know that I really value the experience of partnership that we've had for, you know, our whole lives, that probably could actually move things forward.
Yeah.
And it would be obviously very authentic.
Yeah. Yeah. I love hearing that, Eric. I'm sensing a real shift in your experience of the actual experience of the stimulus. And what I heard was the underlying depth of the energy of partnership that you long for. And isn't it true that in the actual experience of the situation, you didn't experience the value of partnership? It just wasn't present in that statement that he made, but that the pain is...
Yeah, it shows up as the opposite of partnership, to say, you know, X is non-negotiable. I don't care what your needs are. You don't have to know what my needs are. You're just not going to get to do X.
Yeah. And the language that I use is a little bit different, see if it resonates. Not so much... It wouldn't be the opposite, but that it's not in harmony with partnership. It's a dissonance in a way. It's that you so long for partnership, and what you experienced with him in that statement wasn't in harmony with what you long for.
Right. I mean, it's useful for me when I'm thinking about how often do I want to put my foot down to realize that if I like partnership, I'm not going to be doing this very much. Very few things do I want to have completely non-negotiable, where I'm not interested in hearing what your needs are and you're knowing what my needs are.
Yeah. In other words, if you long for this quality of partnership, that you will then be empowered to move towards it, to communicate it, to assert your value around it, and not just to not do anything.
Say that a different way, Robert.
That when you get connected to this value, this quality of partnership, the need for partnership, that there's something that's powerful about connecting to it, that it can move you towards it rather than being neutral about it. I think that's what I was understanding you to say.
You know, there's probably lots of things
that
are powerful. I mean, for example, just to share with this person how much I value partnership and how much I value having it with him. It does set me up for a future in which negotiation may be a little easier.
Yes, that's exactly what I mean,
Especially if it helps him get in touch with how much he likes partnership.
Yeah.
I don't have to say to him, you know, you should like this too. Really just modeling how delicious partnership is for me probably naturally gets him to check in with himself. I like it too.
Absolutely. That's my experience of the power of the needs, that when we get in touch with it and live it and we communicate it to other people, where there's no demand there, but it's more of an invitation to how wonderful this can be if we experience partnership or whatever other need is there.
Yeah, not only is it not a demand, but it doesn't even sound vaguely like a demand.
Yeah,
you know, if you say something like, how would you feel about doing the dishes, could easily be heard as a demand, whereas something like, God, you know, I took this awesome class, and I really got in touch with how much I like partnership with you. I could really, unlikely person's going to jump to, you're really saying I should feel the same way, you know, or something.
Yeah, it's less likely if you truly come from the beauty of the need. Inherent to that energy is no attachment to the outcome. So if you're really communicating the energy of the need, there is no demand. I want to pause with that and just let you be with that. And we're coming to the close of the class, so I'd like to close the class for today. So thank you for that sharing, Eric. I do want to say that I am going to put in the classroom one or more documents that describe this process for you to practice. My suggestion is that, as I did suggest for the last class, that you practice a self-connection exercise. I'm going to suggest that you do this often. And even if it's something that is what could be regarded as a small thing or something that doesn't have a high intensity or high reactivity, I found that this process has been very, very helpful for me in developing just this basic underlying skill and being able to connect with myself. My suggestion is to do it several times a week. If you have a chance to do it every day, great. If not, as many times as possible during the week. We're finished for right now, and I'll see you again in a couple of weeks. Thank you, everybody.